The sermon this evening comes from John chapter 4. We'll be focusing on verses 23 and 24. We're going to move back to verse 15 and start the reading there. We'll read through verse 26. John chapter 4, starting with verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Pray with me. Our God, thank you for your word now. Please bless us as we pursue you, as we seek your face, and as we look at what your word says about you and what duty you require of us. So give us good understanding now and be glorified as your people seek your face. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was a young man in the Boy Scouts, I was out camping with this group of first-year scouts, and there was an Eagle Scout with me. And I wasn't an Eagle Scout, and being an Eagle Scout's a pretty big deal. Only one out of every 100 Boy Scouts make it to that rank. And we got to the point where I asked the Eagle Scout, "Can you set up the fire?" while I was working with the first-year scouts to set up their tents. He said, "Sure." And time passed, and there was no fire. And time passed, and there was no fire. And time passed, and there was no fire. And I went over, and to my shock and horror, I discovered that this Eagle Scout could not build a fire. I was frustrated by the circumstances, but the more time I spent in Scouts, I discovered that there was something called a paper eagle. A paper eagle was someone who didn't deserve an Eagle Scout, but had received it anyway. And this frustrated me and it offended me. I thought the Eagle Scout was this high thing that we would pursue. And once we got it, it really meant something. And it frustrated me to the point where I no longer had any desire to pursue the Eagle Scout rank. Because it no longer meant anything to me. It just seemed like a piece of paper to me or a hollow badge. As we consider now what it means to worship in spirit and in truth, we consider what it means for our lives to be lived out in such a way that we really are a people who love God, who really pursue God, that we would not be paper Christians, or that we wouldn't be paper worshipers. But our worship, as we come together, would be the cultivation from the entire week, this effort and this friction coming together and accumulating this heat and this warmth that explodes into an actual flame. That from our love for God, we assemble together. From our love for God, we come together and we announce His glory and we announce His praise. Not because it's what's written in a book. Not because it's what we're expected to do or what we're expected to say. But because it is the reality of our hearts and the reality of our lives. We don't come in and worship in hypocrisy, but we worship in spirit and in truth. The difference is could be comparable to people walking in just holding a photograph or a drawing or a coloring of a flame compared to walking in and truly being a flame. A flame that has been so spurred on by God's love, so spurred on by His grace, so spurred on by His blessings, that we come together and what we do here in this service is the expression of our hearts. As we look at the idea and wrestle with the idea, what does it mean to worship in spirit? It's worshiping from who we really are. Worshiping from who we have really been made to be. Now this is something that's cultivated and something that takes place in our lives as we think rightly about who God is and think rightly about who we are and think rightly about what has been done in our hearts, what has been done in our lives, what has been done in all creation and reality, what God is accomplishing in all creation and what God is accomplishing in every nation on the earth and what this will all come together to be. As we have this heart, this heart that focuses on a reality and a world that will bow the knee to Christ, we're able then not to be paper worshipers, but a people who worship in spirit and in truth. For our first step, we'll look at verse 23. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the step here is to give your heart to worship now. Giving your heart to worship now. We come and our minds run this way and our minds run that way. We sit in the pews and we sing the words of life. We hear the words of life. And yet our minds run in different directions. And it's striking that Christ comes. And this woman is saying that she had been waiting. In her mind, she had been waiting. And the people have said that the anointed one, the one who is called Messiah, the one who is called Christ, will come. And He'll tell us all things. And to that Christ answers, I who speak to you am He. The one that you have been waiting for has come. And He says, now is the time to worship. And that comes to pass as Christ has come on the scene and makes this the reality of the moment. The reality of all time. Someone was speaking about Christ and they described Him as the one who steps into time and cuts it in half. B.C. and A.D. He stepped in and He defined reality and He defines all history. And as those people were waiting for that one, and He says, I am He. You and I live in this place. We have our being in this place as we are in Christ, that now, now is this time to worship in spirit, to worship in truth, and to see that we have been given the blessing that we participate in the fullness of God. That we are partakers of the divine nature. So we worship and we give ourselves to Him. Romans 13, 11 and 12. Do this knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. And the day is near. And it gives us this anticipation of the dawn. I have said when people have asked me what my favorite color is, I said, it's a pale blue. When they ask why a pale blue, it seems dull. My pale blue is that color in the east. When night is passing away and the sky starts to change, because it's this color of anticipation. Because this red-orange glow is going to rise and shine on everything. You and I, we have seen the fullness of God. We have been given the fullness of God in Christ. And although we live longing for that pale blue, and we live in that place right now, that the sun is going to shine. He's going to cast away every shadow. Yet even now, we are partakers of that. We live in that. We have been given this Christ that the whole church had been waiting for centuries. And that we have been blessed with His Spirit. So we give our hearts to worship even now. Our next step is to have the right sense that we are worshiping in Christ. Again, He said, but an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. This idea of worshiping in spirit and truth, thinking in terms of Christ saying in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We come in here and we are worshiping in truth as we are worshiping in Christ. We read in our passages in Isaiah how people ran here and there and how they worshiped this and they worshiped that and they went up to the high places and they went in the valleys and they went under crags and they went into riverbeds and there they worshiped and there they served and there they burned their sacrifices and they burned their offerings and they killed their children. But here, Christ says, you worship in spirit and truth as you worship in me. We assemble together, we come together in Christ. And it's this great mystery that we are actually in Him as He is in the Father and He is in us as the Father is in the Son. And we come together, we assemble together in this place and He says He dwells in our midst. And we're here worshiping in Christ. You see, the one who worships in spirit and in truth comes in with a sense of their neediness. Knowing that they need Christ, they need this rescue, they need this peace, they need this understanding in God to intercede, to rescue us from our crimes. And as we assemble together, knowing our neediness and knowing God's grace and knowing His power, knowing the destruction that's been done to the grave and to death, the destruction that's been done to sin, from this place, we worship in spirit. We worship in truth. We understand that as we worship in Christ, we're worshiping through His sacrifice. We're given this picture through the whole Old Covenant as the people come together, and it's a vulgar scene. It's a disgusting scene as they would bring an animal and they would take a knife and they would slit the throat. The blood would pour onto the ground and they would collect it in bowls. Then people would be sprinkled with the blood, and I've shared this imagery before. That's the church being sprinkled with blood. We would look around, and I would look, if I were in the pew, and I would look and see my wife with blood splattered on her face. I would look at my children with blood splattered on their face and running down. It's vulgar, and it's terrifying, and it's meant to be. Because sin brings that death. Sin brings blood spilled, life blood utterly drained out. But you and I come having known this picture, knowing this imagery of the blood splattered. And now you and I look around. And now I look at my wife and I look at my children and I know they've been washed. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They don't need the sacrifice of a goat anymore. But the sacrifice of the Lamb has already been done. They've been made clean. And as you and I look around in our own assembly, we see one another who have been made clean. Made clean by Christ.
made clean by his sacrifice. So from that place, looking around and no longer seeing people splattered in blood, no longer seeing death upon one another, but knowing the grace that has come in Christ and the great rescue that has come in Christ, we worship in him. And we know in that place, we are worshiping in truth. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. But Romans 5:17 says, for if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. In our worship now, assembling in the very courts of God, assembling and being embraced in Christ, we are enthroned. We know that we are enthroned with Christ. And from this place, we worship in truth. Now we look again at verse 23. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We look at this idea of worshiping in spirit, and this worshiping in spirit in one element and in one way. This is the work of the Holy Spirit that works in us. As we look at Psalm 40, we see that God puts a new song in our hearts, a hymn of praise to him. We look in other places, and we look in Psalm 22, and God supplies the praise once again. He opens our mouths, and we praise. But on the other hand, this is worshiping from our own spirit. This is a worship that comes from our own heart. The heart that has been made new. The heart that focuses on the reality and sees, as stated in John, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. In 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 it says, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that we who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. As we deal with the idea of worshiping in spirit, we're dealing with the idea of worshiping from the foundation of who we really are. As we come together, as we come in and as we sing, it is meant to be from the foundation of who we really are. It's not a different face that we put on when we come in here. It's not a mask that we put on. There are so many people that have Bibles that never, ever wear out. They look beautiful. They look pretty for their entire lives. I know family members who have inherited Bibles that are in perfect condition, even though they're ancient. It's just been something to pick up and something to carry to church. Our worship is in danger. It's always in danger of being just that. We come in and we pull out our drawing of our flame and we sit in our pews and we hold it up when we sing, when we don't sing from our hearts. When we don't sing from who we really are. Some ways that this has been described, worshiping in spirit, it's not in ceremonies concocted by men, not directed by tradition, not in hypocritical or heartless profession. But it's coming and serving. Coming and serving Christ. Not just something we do going through the motions, but coming and intentionally recognizing the grace that we have received, the blessing that we live in, seeing that we have been made new, and giving that our expression, You see, as we come in, this should be the focal point from the goodwill that we've rendered throughout the course of the week, rendering service everywhere as if unto the Lord and not to men. But then we come in with expectation to do something directly to God. A service done directly to Him. That is the expression of our true heart. This is worshiping in spirit. Our next step, worship in spirit and in truth, knowing that you are worshiping by grace. See the idea that we come in and we're living in this place of grace, this unmerited favor, knowing that Christ did everything that it took for us to be here, for us to render this service to God, to assemble in His courtyard and not be consumed. This idea of coming into God's courtyard is something that impacts me deeply. I often think of a medieval kingdom mindset, that we have these high stone walls with banners on the walls that are caught high in the breeze, and it's this majestic place, and it's this royal majestic king with absolute power, absolute authority, and we consider ourselves outside of the gate, and what we have done through the course of our lives, every time that we've sinned by omission or commission, we've committed rebellion against the throne. Every time we've sinned, it's as if we were held in His hand and we spat in His face. We've lifted our rebel flag and we waved it back and forth in His face. This is why it's so striking. This is why it's so amazing that you and I could assemble together and in the spiritual realm that's more real than the physical realm. We are before the King. We are in His face. And He looks on us. And we're not seen as rebels anymore. Not for any of our crimes. But we're looked upon and we're seen as sons and daughters in His courtyard. And this is by grace. This is how we assemble. This is how we worship in spirit and truth. Seeing that we are worshiping in a state of grace. Loved and blessed. Not consumed with flame. But held fast as sons and daughters. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You have received the gift of God. You have received grace, and you worship in grace. Our next step. Worship in spirit and in truth, remembering that this is a service to God. In Psalm 51, verses 7 and 8, it says, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. As we worship, we're coming from this place of having been washed, coming from this place of having been made clean. And what we do now is a specific service to God. In John 4:8, Jesus answered him, said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. This idea of service and this idea of worship is something that is done specifically to God. Many people have the idea that everything that we do in life is a worship. And that is so easily twisted and misunderstood. A friend of mine, just about all of you know him, Kenji Smith. He was talking about worship service being like the most intimate act between a husband and wife. That it's when we come together and there is this focus and this presence and there is this intimacy. He said, sure, there's lots of things that you can do for your wife. You can do your dishes for your wife. He said, but there's something very different then with that other intimacy, isn't there? You see, through the course of our lives, all the other things that we do, it's just like doing the dishes for him. But now we come together and we are in this service. And he meets with you in the way that only your Heavenly Father can. You meet with him in that way only a son or a daughter can. And we recognize the beauty and the intimacy that we have with our Heavenly Father. And what we do is focused to him. We pray, and as I pray, you join in and we do it to him. We sing, and as we do it, as a family, we do it to him. And in that special intimacy, in this special time, he dwells with us. He dwells with you. And he can only do it, and he only ever does it through his Son, Jesus Christ. He only ever does it with those who have been chosen. Those who have been rescued from the dominion of darkness. Those who have been brought into his kingdom. Those who have been embraced. So we worship. We worship and we do it to him. Our next step, worship, having been washed, having been made clean. Psalm 51:7-8. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And have you think and remember that each one of your sins is seen as a crime. Each one is seen as a stain. Each one is a layer of filth on a garment. I have been in situations where I've been out and I've spilled something on myself and I'm embarrassed of it. How much more? How much more the stains that show our crime? The stains that show our selfishness. The stains that show our rebellion. And we would come into the courtyard of God dressed in our own filth, displaying every crime. And yet we are put in the place where we have been purified with the sprinkling of Christ's blood. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You worship, having been made whiter than snow. Every crime washed away, covered, forgotten forever and ever. It is this heart that sees all of this truth. See, to worship in spirit and truth is to embrace this whole reality of what has happened to us. The whole reality is what has been done to us. The whole reality of what has been done for us. To embrace the whole reality of our destination. The whole reality of our place in Christ now. And from there, having been given a heart of worship and a heart of praise. So we come together embracing that truth. Embracing that reality. And giving service to God in response to all that he has done. Pray with me. God, our God, we thank you for all that you have done.
for the grace that we live in and for the opportunity to love you and to serve you with a love that only sons and daughters can give. And we thank you for blessing us with love that only a perfect heavenly Father can give. Do not allow us to be paper worshipers. May we crumble up and throw away our drawings of flames. And light us a flame, O God, that we would praise you with both light and warmth because of who you are and what you have done. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next song.